This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that is facing a great decision coming up, well, not this November, but it's November a year from now. However, if you talk about any of the political leaders or leading political commentators, that, of course, control of the U.S. Congress at stake in the midterm election coming up in November of 2022. And warning signs, says Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal, are very, very prominent for Democrats. He writes an eye-opening and important column, as he usually does, and this in the Wall Street Journal, saying basically, by some measures, Biden's doing okay, approval rating isn't bad, nothing too disastrous has happened on his watch. However, the rise in crime and the ongoing problem at the border should concern President Biden and all Democratic partisans. Jerry, thanks very, very much for joining us, and thanks, as always, for the column.
Sure, happy to be with you.
Okay, first of all, there are some people who would take issue with your making the first statements you make in your column, which are that by some measures the Biden administration is doing okay. What do you mean by that? In terms of the economy, in terms of the mood of the nation, how do you measure the idea that the Biden administration would even be competitive in the elections coming up?
Well, you can literally measure it. I mean, the economy is growing, employment is growing. Those are the two standard metrics for politicians, trying to seek re-election. President Biden's job approval ratings are pretty good. They're certainly better than President Trump's. They're reasonably high by recent historical standards. Stock market is up 10% since he came into office. Donald Trump always liked to use that as a barometer of how well he was doing. And, you know, the country's fight against the coronavirus has, gone reasonably well, certainly in terms of number of infections going down and number of vaccinations going up. So those are all, indisputable good signs for the Democrats.
You don't think it will be held against Biden? Apparently, we are going to fall just a little bit short of getting that 70% vaccinated by the 4th of July. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's in fact one of the warning signs of flashing yellow lights that I refer to in the column. On that front, that's the first piece of not so good news, I think, for the administration on the virus front. And the failure to get to that, while it in and of itself isn't fatal by any means, it's kind of a sign that there's still going to be a struggle this summer because they need to keep vaccinations moving up because the Delta variant of the coronavirus is also kind of moving in on this country, and the fewer vaccinated people you have in the population, the bigger problem that's going to be. That's going to be particularly true in some pockets of the country where vaccination rates are just not as high as they are in other places. So, yeah, that's a potential problem and one of the worrying signs, I think, for the White House.
Well, you also, in your column, suggest that the Democrats are going to sorely miss having a very important name on the ballot in 2022. Which name is that?
It would be Donald J. Trump, I guess. President Trump was a great motivator for Democrats. We will never know for sure how many people who voted for Joe Biden really voted against Donald Trump rather than for Joe Biden, but there were certainly many of them, including in particular, I think the exit polls suggest, and post-election polling suggests, college-educated whites in the suburbs, including in some swing districts where they're going to be competitive congressional races. So you don't have him on the ballot to motivate the Democratic base, and you don't have him on the ballot to pull into the Democratic column people who might otherwise be more inclined to vote Republican. And so, ironically, I think that's a potential problem for Democrats, and you know, something that Republicans won't gloat about, but I think there are plenty of them who are happy not to have him on the ballot this time around.
What about should Democrats feel encouraged by the show President Trump put on in Wellington, Ohio, the other night in his 1 hour and 37 minute speech, where he went after Anthony Gonzalez, a congressman who had voted to impeach him, who's a Republican and a football star? Does that encourage Democrats, you think?
You know, I think it probably leaves them of two minds, I would think. One would be, yeah, it encourages them because it was a demonstration of the fact that former President Trump doesn't seem to be able to look forward. He's only looking backwards right now, and most American elections are not about what happened but what will happen. And that suits Democrats fine. On the other hand, the one thing that he does is he motivates his base, and there are places, you know, there are going to be swing congressional districts where a motivated Trump base still is a problem for Democrats, even if he's not on the ballot himself. You know, and it's worth noting as a backdrop here that the baseline problem for Democrats is that an incumbent president's party normally loses ground in the first midterm election after he's elected. That's just kind of the way history is read. You know, people find things to be unhappy about. They have lost their, you know, the thrill of electing a Democrat or a Republican for the first time, and they tend to take a little bit of it out on the incumbent president's party. So that's just kind of, that's kind of what happens historically. The problem for Democrats is they have no ground to lose in Congress. I mean, it's a 50-50 Senate, literally, and you know, Democrats control the House by, you know, depending on how you count on any given day, fewer than 10 seats. So they just don't have any margin for error, and they're bucking a historical tide, which usually says you lose some ground in a midterm election.
And you talk about what are, I believe are two giant issues and are probably the issue that is going to help the Republicans greatly in this election. One is the surge in crime, which is a profound and moving issue to people of every ethnicity, every income level, when you have homicide going up the way it is pretty much everywhere. And then the second issue being the issue of patriotism, the issue of what we teach about America and the increasing association of the Democratic mainstream, even, with some fairly radical ideas that are critical of this country. Those are tough issues for people on the left to handle, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And I think most Republicans are going to talk about three things between now and next year's midterm election. One is, as you suggest, crime and violence, and they're going to blame that on Democrats wanting to defund the police, and that has some resonance. The second is immigration, which has become a pretty standard Republican talking point, and in this case it has some traction because of the surge that we saw, particularly among unaccompanied minors at the border. And the third is critical race theory. Why do they want to talk about that? Because it has basically become the metaphor for, you know, kind of progressive Democratic talk about systemic racism and sort of cultural language that scares or turns off people in the middle of the electorate. And I think those three things together have already emerged as the most potent, or at least the most well-used talking points for Republicans, and I suspect that's going to be the case between now and next November.
Okay, let's, if we can, break those three issues down. What should President Biden do to improve the situation with immigration? What should he do to stop or turn back the surge in criminal violence? And what should he do to respond to the idea that we're now going to be teaching America that we should feel guilt rather than gratitude for this country we're celebrating coming up next week? We will continue that conversation with Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal. He is the executive Washington editor and author of the Capital Journal column, We Should Have Seen It Coming. That's from his book from Random House, recently released. We will be right back with Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal.
We need to deal with the truth.
The Michael Medved Show.
Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVET. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVET for these great radio specials.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
A pleasure talking with Gerald Seib, who is the Wall Street Journal's executive Washington editor. And he has written a piece which is the most substantive piece so far, it seems to me, looking forward to that crucial election with both houses of Congress so closely divided that is coming up in 2022. Okay, you mentioned three problems that Democrats face, and they are warning signs. It doesn't mean they necessarily are going to lose, but it makes it entirely possible, maybe even likely, that they will. Three problems you mentioned were the tremendous rise in crime that people are beginning to perceive and to talk about. And, I mean, Joe Biden, first of all, on that issue, he has to say something more than we have to crack down on guns, right? That's not a sufficient answer.
Well, he has said more than that, and I think he's ahead of some of his party on this to some extent. I mean, last week the White House put out a new initiative in which they're going to divert some COVID-19 relief funds into streams of money that can be used at a local level to hire more law enforcement officials and pay for some anti-violence programs. So that is a move in that direction. And I think equally important, you know, Joe Biden probably needs to keep saying, hey, I never said defund the police. And in fact, he didn't. He was opposed to this idea of defunding the police, which means a lot of different things to different people anyway, when it arose as a campaign subject in 2020. So I think the first thing he does is try to remind people of that. And second, I think that probably, you know, there needs to be some conversation with local leaders about, and this is always a difficult issue, how can the federal government actually help deal with crime issues at the local level? But that's really what the situation probably calls for now.
And on the immigration issue, I mean, I do remember that when you were watching the people up there on the stages during the Democratic debates, I mean, some of the rhetoric that one was hearing was extremely to the left on the immigration issue, or what people call to the left. I would say in dream world, where their folks wanted to guarantee every kind of federal benefit for new hordes of unauthorized immigrants. That was never Biden's position, but what does he do now, given the perception and the relentless GOP hounding on this issue?
Well, I think you have to start by doing more to actually secure the southern border.
Amen.
And, you know, and then that's just reality. And I think also, and this part is happening, and it takes a while for the effect to be seen. I mean, you really have to do something to slow down the flow at the source, which is to say to work with the countries in Central America and with the Mexican government to get them to stop the flow of migrants north before they really get started. And that's happening, too. That's supposed to be Vice President Harris's main mission. We'll see over time whether that really works or not. And then I think you have to basically figure out if there is a way to find a center of gravity within your own party on immigration. You know, the Republican presidents in turn have wrestled with this. Now Joe Biden will wrestle with this. Finding the middle ground between not appearing anti-immigrant, but also appearing strong on the southern border, and making it at least making people think you have a solution to the problem of, you know, the undocumented aliens who are here already. You know, that's a difficult balancing act, and we've had a whole series of presidents who fail to figure out how to, you know, square all those circles, and you have to try, and that's one of the things I think the Biden administration is going to have to start getting cracking on.
Well, one of the big challenges for them is DACA. And on that, President Biden did promise some relief, but then again, so did President Trump at one point for the so-called Dreamers who are here. And yet, if he attempts that, that could be very divisive between President Biden and the moderates and progressives within his own party, couldn't it?
Well, I actually think DACA is the least of his problems on this front in some ways, because there is actually now a bipartisan consensus. You mentioned President Trump, who wanted to deal with the DACA issue, too, by finding a way to give them a path to at least legal status, if not citizenship. You know, ironically, one of the things that the Biden administration could do to take some of the pressure off from within the Democratic Party is break off DACA and see if you can get Congress to move on a plan to provide a, you know, legal status and a path toward citizenship or some permanent legal status for DACA recipients. And there's actually a receptive audience in both parties for that. The problem is most people in the Democratic Party won't let the Biden administration or anybody do that, because they're afraid if you break the DACA question off and solve it separately, that reduces the pressure to have a broader immigration reform program. So, you know, if he could deal with that, I actually think he would. But it's difficult because of the dynamic within his own party, which doesn't want DACA dealt with separately, wants it to become kind of a lure for a broader immigration reform plan.
Okay, and that brings us to the final issue, the issue of critical race theory, the issue of some of the cultural disputes about how we view America and American history. I noticed today Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, is criticizing the Biden administration for having canceled the fireworks display at Mount Rushmore, at the national monument there. Which same fireworks display that President Trump ordered would be reestablished. What's the right response on this kind of thing, which I think concerns many Americans and not just conservatives, the idea of running America down, a basic undermining of the goodness and greatness of the country?
I think the first thing that Joe Biden can do is be Joe Biden, because, you know, that's not where he comes from. It's where a lot of people in his party are, and he needs to create some separation between them and him on this. I think in terms of tone, and also in terms of substance. And I think you know, you are hearing voices in the Democratic Party, including on the progressive left, who are basically saying to activists on the racial equity front that they need to temper their own rhetoric a little bit and not turn off people who ought to be their allies. You know, that they start with not turning off your friends and have a more moderated conversation about racial justice. And I think that's probably what, you know, President Biden is going to have to do over time. And I think that there's a lot of landmines in this field, and he's going to have to walk around them, but he's also going to have to get people in his party to start walking around them a little bit more. And I think the other thing I heard in talking to some Democrats about this column was, you know, activists and party kind of operatives saying essentially, look, the most important thing we can do here is to get off the cultural debate and talk about economic issues where our programs do appeal to middle America, and don't get drawn into a debate about cultural divisive and explosive cultural issues with conservatives, because that's what they want. That's not the conversation we should want.
It's also what Jamal Bowman and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Cori Bush and a bunch of other people want, far leftists on the Democratic Party. It's a fascinating column and a fascinating moment. We will go back to that moment and more, thanks to Gerald Seib of the Wall Street Journal for his insight and information on the MedVet Show.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
There are no new details on the South Florida condo collapse. The Miami-Dade County mayor confirming that all of the 11 families who have lost loved ones have been notified. Florida's chief financial officer and the state fire marshal, Jimmy Petronas, say the search and rescue for unaccounted for people from the Surfside condominium collapse will not conclude soon. He stresses the number of people conducting the search, comparing it to the scale of a hurricane relief effort.
The men and women that are working right now, the task forces that are on the ground, 370, that's the largest deployment in the history of the state of Florida that's not a hurricane.
News out of the Supreme Court says New Jersey can't block construction of a natural gas pipeline, saying the developer can use eminent domain to take the state property. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Michael Medved Show, William Faulkner is famous for saying the past isn't dead. In fact, it isn't even past. It's with us. And it's one of the reasons it's so much worthwhile to make a trip to places like, and there is no place really like it, the Reagan Library. If you're one of those people, like me, who believes that Ronald Reagan was the most effective and most successful president of our time, and I believe that, then it's inspiring and uplifting to visit the Reagan Library, and I hope you'll visit to come hear me broadcast the show live from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, and then afterward we're going to be doing a lecture and question and answer on my most recent book, God's Hand on America. You just have to sign up in advance. It's totally free, and it will be a memorable occasion. I hope you'll join me on July 14th, 10 days after the 4th of July, easy to remember, and it's a Wednesday night in Simi Valley, and I hope to see you there. You can find information at our website at michaelmedved.com. And one of the reasons that I do think that it is more likely than not that the Republicans make gains, including the gains that they need to make to recapture the House, that at least, and very possibly, and I think very likely the Senate as well, is because, as Gerald Seib was saying before, even very successful presidents, very popular presidents, Ronald Reagan was about to win a 49-state landslide in 1984, but in 1982... he lost a bunch of seats in the House of Representatives. and lost some of his margin in the Senate. And that is something that particularly with the crime issue and the way that people on the left have been handling the crime issue, I think is likely to occur in this upcoming battle. For instance, there was just a press conference in a place that is not known as a center of conservative activism. It's Oakland, California, the East Bay, right across the bay from San Francisco. Oakland is a very diverse city. And the Oakland police chief, whose name is LaRon Armstrong, began a press conference by noting that his city is undergoing a massive and tragic surge in crime. This is clip 14.
Start out today by saying that I'm challenged by the decisions that were made on Thursday around the budget for the city of Oakland, particularly for the Oakland Police Department. But today we find ourselves in a crisis. We find ourselves reeling from a weekend of violence where we've seen 4 homicides over a 3-day period. It now has us currently at 65 homicides for the year. It's a 90% increase compared to last year. Our shootings are up over 70% this year. Our robberies are up 11% this year. It's been 1,300 robberies in this city already this year. Our carjackings are up nearly 88%. So we see clearly that crime is out of control in the city of Oakland, and our response was for less police resources.
Okay, one of the things that is a factor here, and it's fascinating when you actually look it up, is what people call the Ferguson effect. Because part of what happened, and by the way, you know that the lady Gwen Berry, who was so much at the center of things, she's a native of Ferguson, Missouri. And the killing of Michael Brown crippled policing throughout that region and then throughout the country. And if this was under the Obama administration, and even members of the Obama administration mentioned it. And, of course, it's even more intense. What the Ferguson effect is the demoralization of police, the determination of police to be less proactive in trying to prevent crime and trying to remove career criminals from the streets. These are all things that, frankly, our leaders in Washington, including Democrats, need to talk about. Because Oakland is not a Republican-run city. I'm quite sure that the police chief of Oakland, LaRon Anderson, is not a Republican. Of course, he has to be officially nonpartisan. But he went on to talk about defunding the police and public safety. This is clip 8.
But when city council members, the majority of them that voted to defund this police department, that additional $17 million that was reduced from the police department's budget will have an impact. I think it's easy to sit in a room and have a discussion about what public safety looks like and your ideas about what to make Oakland better. It's much different when you come out into the community and meet on the ground with those families.
Okay, and part of what he's saying is a lot of those families are black. The people who are being killed by the gang violence, many of those people, most of those people, are black. And if black lives matter, and they do, then to do nothing about this is tragic. The former Detroit police chief, whose name is James Craig, also African-American, he talks about the rise in crime in America, and on Fox TV, he also rebutted some of the common explanations from Democrats about the surge. Listen, this is clip 1.
We don't have a gun problem. We have a gun problem in America. What we have is a criminal problem. Look, you said it, I'm going to say it again. Criminals are emboldened. Bail reform is a miserable failure. And so criminals don't follow the law. They're going to get guns. So what do we want to focus on? Getting guns from law-abiding citizens? Years ago when President Obama was president, I made a statement that I believe, based on my years of experience as a practitioner, 44 years, that law-abiding citizens who are armed can have an impact on reducing violent crime. I believe that. And I still believe that to this day. It's not about guns. It's about criminals who have guns. And they don't get the guns literally. That's the bottom line.
And again, when police can't keep you safe from shooting, think of the hours and the time and the investment that would be necessary to go after guns, not in the hands of criminals, but guns, which the majority of them are, in the hands of law-abiding and ordinary citizens. Citizens in Oakland speak out about defunding the police. We will share that with you. And in fact, let's take a listen to that clip. That's clip four.
The farther east you go, especially in deep east Oakland, where most of the homicides and shootings have taken place, many people complain there aren't enough officers.
We need more police in Oakland.
So often, people broken into the cars, homes. So no, I disagree with defunding the police.
At the Foothill Square Shopping Center, many people say they're fed up with the gun violence.
I understand why people want to defund the police. They think the police are violent, but who's going to save us when we need to call them?
A lot of people just do not feel safe because we need police, and the community need to work with the police in order to help curb some of this violence.
Okay, this is the essence of wisdom. That from KPIX-TV in the Bay Area. We will be right back with President Obama weighing in. We will be right back with that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Somebody who I adore, and who I just think is terrific.
Michael MedVet.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Insane, catastrophic, chaos.
The Michael Medved Show.
These are some of the more polite words.
And when you talk about catastrophic and chaos, in urban America, that is increasingly a concern. And given the fact that basically Democrats had an advantage in urban America anyway, what happens to that advantage if these Democratic-run cities... And if a Democratic-run government, both the House and the Senate and the White House, all look unable to rise to the occasion and actually do something about the ongoing rise in criminal violence. And you just heard a selection of voices from Oakland, particularly East Oakland, which is heavily black, of people saying how much we need the police. Now, it's very obvious. And what's remarkable is people now dropping the slogan, thank God, and it's appropriate they do drop it, the slogan defund the police. But people like Senator Mazie Hirono, one of the most suspiciously focused, unfocused members of the U.S. Senate, Crazy Mazie basically denying that Democrats have ever embraced this idea of defund the police. This is clip 12.
Democrats do not stand for defunding police. The police have a major role to play, especially community policing and reducing the incidents of violence and crime in our communities. But it is a multifaceted issue and concerns, and that's how we should approach it. It is not all about let's just get tough on crime. And at the same time, by the way, I note that as we look at creating a commission to find out what really happened with the tremendous violence that happened on January 6th, you have a whole bunch of Republicans who don't even want to go there.
Okay, back to January 6th. This despite the fact that it's now a reality, they are going to be having a special select committee of the House appointed by Nancy Pelosi that that are going to be looking at whatever happened on January 6th. But can I tell you, I honestly believe that most Americans, while appropriately disgusted by what occurred on January 6th and the way it was handled by the administration, I think it was the greatest black mark of all the black marks that you can talk about in recent presidential history. This was pretty much the bottom of the barrel. It was bad. So having said that, the idea that people are more worried about a repeat of January 6th than they are about a grandchild or a niece or a nephew being shot in crossfire by gangs, or like that Marine veteran who was visiting Times Square and was shot there. The people of New York spoke up. And the people of New York spoke up and have just about secured the victory to Eric Adams, who was the most tough on crime of all the many candidates for the Democratic nomination for mayor of New York. That's saying something, isn't it? And by the way, for her idea that, well, Democrats don't support defunding the police, just a little flashback that rock star Greg Tomlin found. This is clip 16. This is Ilhan Omar speaking to an angry crowd of people in her hometown, the town she represents in Congress, Minneapolis. Listen.
I will never co-sign on funding a police department that continues to brutalize us. And I will never stop saying not only do we need to disinvest from police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
Okay, is she a Democrat? Right? She is. She's a disgrace. But we must completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department, and you hear people banging, yay, hooray, hooray, hooray. And as for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, another flashback, she once praised some suburban neighborhoods for what they did with police funding. This is clip 18.
And it may sound strange, but many affluent suburbs have essentially already begun pursuing a defunding of the police, funding up in that they fund schools, they fund housing, and they fund health care more as their number one priority.
Okay, part of what she's talking about is communities that frankly do not have to spend as much on policing, because they don't have an ongoing crime problem. There are parts of her district in the Bronx that have less of a crime problem than others. Does it not make sense to spend more money in policing precisely those parts of a city or those parts of a country that are most unsafe? And one of the things you talk about unsafe, do you remember until this week, and really until this week, there was this tremendous focus by so many people on the left, so many Democrats, prominent Democrats, about the For the People Act, about taking over federal control of electoral reform. I mean, it was an obsession. And now, well, now we have other issues. Yes, there is a real problem at the border. And yes, there is a genuine problem with the surge in violence everywhere. And former President Barack Obama was in conversation with Nancy Pelosi and Eric Holder talking about a topic that he likes, which is the voting laws. Listen, clip 3.
I think it is entirely appropriate for Republicans to say that we want to scrutinize every aspect of this bill. We have our own proposals to make sure that elections are fair. We're not going to just trust that the Democrats have our interests at heart in this. I think that's entirely appropriate. What you can't do, what the Republicans can't with a straight face claim, is that after we saw January 6th, after you justified what culminated in January 6th by suggesting that, you know, our voters don't feel like this vote is legitimate and we think there are all these questions that have to be answered and we're suspicious, et cetera. Well, you can't then say, all right, well, let's do something about it. And then they say, no, we don't want to talk anything about that. That can't be right. And what we can't also allow Republicans to say is the only kind of voting we think is fair is when our voters, or who we think are our voters, are allowed to vote, and those who we think are not going to vote for us are not allowed to vote. That also can't be the answer. That can't be fair. We have to challenge that basic premise.
Okay, for the former president, for him to say that the Republicans are saying that a certain classes of voters, and I think this has a clear racial subtext, are not allowed to vote, that people we think will vote against us should not be allowed to vote, where has any Republican actually advanced that idea? This is a complete straw man. It's completely unfair, and it's completely misleading and profoundly untrue. I'll tell you something else that is a gigantic issue, and it's becoming an international issue, is the UN today, the human rights chief for the UN, who's a former president of Chile, has released a report about racism on a global scale, focused, she says, because of the George Floyd killing, on racism in 60 different countries where police violence is used to suppress black people. And she talks specifically about race as an issue and racism as an issue involving people of African origin. Well, an African-American academic, very distinguished, he's been a guest on the show frequently, Wilfred Riley of Kentucky State University, who's the author of the books Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, and Hate Crime Hoax, and others, is going to talk about this new UN report, because one of the things that the report is demanding is reparations. An unbelievable situation. And if the UN is demanding reparations, which countries do you think are going to answer the call to pay the reparations? And to whom? We will get to that and much more with Wilfred Riley coming up. Also, to talk a little bit more about what actually is happening with the vaccines and the end of the pandemic. We won't hit the goal for July 4th, but are we hitting the goal for a safer America and a healthier America? That and more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.